Thank you, Steve and Susan. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Isaiah. We have been unwrapping God's greatest Christmas gift from Isaiah. Next Sunday, we will see that gift come to being. But Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, we're going to read a few verses. I'll be dealing with 32nd and 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we pray that you will take this time. I pray, God, that you would touch each and every person here. Father, there are great needs in this room. I pray that you will meet each person at their point of need. I pray, Father, that for those that do not know you that are here, that today the light will come on for them. And today they will know Jesus as their Savior. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been unwrapping God's greatest Christmas gift, and we find that Isaiah does a very, very good job of that. In this passage, Judah had a problem, not like some of the problems that we face today. They had leaders who failed to lead, and when they did venture forth, they didn't take time to consider what God wanted. Instead, they looked for man's will and what man thought they could do to get themselves out of trouble. Now, when men try to get men out of trouble, they generally make a mess. And that happens again and again. The Middle East was in turmoil. Surprise, surprise. It still is in turmoil. The Syro-Ephraimic War was going on from 735 to 732 B.C., and then there came the destruction of the northern kingdom of Samaria about 722 B.C. Judah was in a state of total panic. Now, its king had a choice, but its king made the wrong choice. Its king failed to hold to faith. The people wanted peace. The people longed for a sense of security, but they were not going to get it from this king. The king's advisors encouraged him to go down to Egypt and make an alliance with Egypt. Now, you never make an alliance with ungodly people. And so this king was encouraged to go to Egypt and make an ungodly alliance, to strike a treaty to assist them against the Assyrians. It would be a huge mistake. They would not go to God in prayer. Instead, they would trust an ungodly ally. They wouldn't go to God in prayer. Instead, they would trust the might of their armies. Listen, this is as true today as it was then. When leaders fail to bow down to Almighty God, there is going to be disaster to pay. That was true then. That is true now. Here we sit in the good old USA. I am proud to be an American. I am thankful for everyone who has served our nation. I thank those of you that are here. I thank those that went before you. By your sacrifice, we are able to worship today. And I am so thankful for what you have done. And I am so sorry for leaders that have messed up a lot of what you've done. And I am so sorry for leaders that have not stood by many of you after your point of service as they should and have not kept the bargains that they made with you. And that, quite honestly, is an abomination. Our presidents, for the most part, have not looked to the Lord. Our senators, for the most part, have not looked to the Lord. Our congressmen, for the most part, have not looked to the Lord. Well, we don't have to worry about that. We've got the Supreme Court. Uh-oh. Now, I am praying for and hoping for better days, but the reality is our current Supreme Court in the last few years have made some of the worst decisions made in our nation's history. No matter what the king did in Isaiah's day, no matter what the leaders do in our own day, God has a message about unwrapping his Christmas gift. His greatest Christmas gift is a Christmas king. I must admit, it is sometimes difficult to follow Isaiah. He doesn't always write in sequence. He speaks of prophecies about what is going to happen to people in his own time and some prophecies about what's going to happen surrounding his own area, but also things that are going to happen in distant days in the future. Some of the things he talks about are in our past. We know they took place. Some of the things he talks about are in our future. By the way, if you know the Lord and you know his word, you can know they are going to take place. All of the prophecies that God give us has given us will come into being. He speaks of the first and second coming of the Messiah, God's greatest gift. Both of these happenings were in his future. These were prophecies about the Messiah coming as a babe in a manger, but also as the Messiah sitting on a throne for 1,000 years. He tells us God's truth about what's going to happen. Now, we don't know everything that's going to occur. We don't know everything that's happening today. There are things happen today that perhaps we don't understand. God's word is on a need-to-know basis. God's information is on a need-to-know basis. By the way, some of you are here today and you are totally stressed out about something that's happened in your life, something that's happened in a loved one's life, something's happened that you don't understand and you're trying to figure it out and you're asking God why and you're not getting any answers and it's just stressing you out. Can I tell you, let it go. Life is on a need-to-know basis. If God thinks you need to know the answer to your why, he'll give it to you. And if he doesn't fill in those blanks, just trust him. He knows what is best for you all the time. Just trust for him. Have you ever noticed this? You can't live another person's life for them. If they make decisions that affect you or they make decisions that are harmful to them, you can't do it for them. At some point, you have to just trust God. And you have to trust God to deal with their lives and trust God for your own life. I can tell you the person you can deal with, and that's you. And if you want to be the best you can be for God's greatest gift, then you just need to work on you. You know the greatest Christmas gift you could give to your family? Be the best believer in Jesus that you can be. Make the changes that God would have you make. Follow Jesus day by day, and he will make in you what he wants you to be. Here we have some things happening. Some we can figure out, some are a little bit cloudy. But the thing that is true is you need to look to the Lord God. You always need to look to Jesus. In this passage, we see God's greatest Christmas gift. God will give a king. In verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. A casual reading of the book of Isaiah is going to reveal that the kings of his day were not that great. They were not righteous kings, not Ahaz, not Hezekiah. The dream king, you know, everybody has their dream king. If you're going to ask America about their dream king, they're going to bring up George Washington. They're going to bring up Abraham Lincoln. And some will bring up Ronald Reagan, but they'll talk about their dream king. Well, Israel had a dream king. His name was David. And everything they wanted in a king, they found in David. But we know David was flawed, just like any other person you would lift up. He fell in his personal life. For a king to come and rule as God wants him to rule, for a king to come and live in righteousness, he must be 100% righteous. He must live exactly according to God's will and never falter. There has only been one to do that. That is God's greatest Christmas gift. That is the Messiah. That is the King of Kings. That is Jesus. Now, this king is going to rule. This passage alludes to the millennium. There will be a time when Jesus will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, for the believer, we have Jesus dwelling in our hearts. Hey, that's good news. If you have Jesus, if you've invited him to be your Savior, he has forgiven your sins, he's come inside of you, and wherever you go, whatever happens to you, he is there with you at that very moment. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that the king that's going to reign in the millennium righteously can reign in your heart right now. And the truths of God can be lifted up in your heart in this very moment. Oh, what a great thing it is to know Jesus. The Jews could have peace knowing that one day God's righteous leader would sit on the throne. But believer, through God's greatest gift, we don't have to wait. God's peace can be ours simply by bowing our lives down to the King of Kings day by day. Becky and I had the privilege of going to New York recently, and we saw the Rockettes Christmas Spectacular. Heard about it our whole lives, got to go. The Rockettes did their kicking around, they did their dancing, but let me tell you something about that if you've never been. It's a Christmas message. And they build up to the telling of the Christmas story, and they read the Christmas story from the Bible. I was blown away. Hey, in New York City, by the way, if you go to an ice rink in New York City, Bryant Park or Rockefeller Center, they play music, Christmas music, and their Christmas music they play, it tells about Jesus by name. They're doing that in New York City. You think we could wake the people up around here so that we hear a little bit of music about Jesus by name? But in the Rockettes story, they build up to the presenting of Jesus. They have live sheep. They have live camels. And the climax of the story comes to everyone bowing down to the Christ child. And when that happened in the theater when we were there, it broke into applause. Because you see, even in New York City, they know you need to bow down to the King. We need to learn in our lives, day by day, to bow down to God's King, the King of Kings. Now, if you know Jesus today, you're going to have an opportunity not only to serve Him, you're going to have an opportunity to rule with Him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. In Revelations 5:10, and he has made us unto, he has made him into our God, and kings and priests we will be. In Revelations 26, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, how are we going to rule with Jesus? He says we're going to rule with him in righteousness. Have you ever had a great boss? I mean, a truly great boss, but the managers under that great boss were not so great. And unfortunately, you didn't get to work for your great boss because you had to work for that turkey that was over you. Well, imagine this. King Jesus will reign in the millennium. He will reign righteously, and we're going to be the people that reign under him. How are we going to reign in righteousness when in truth we can't get through a week without sinning in this world? Well, you see, when we leave this world, when Jesus comes for us in the rapture, I believe there will be a rapture. I believe he will come. We will rise to meet him in the air. That's what the Bible teaches. I think that could happen any moment. Could happen right now. Well, not right now, but pretty soon. We'll go up. We'll just keep going up. And we'll be changed in an instant, and God will change things. Now, if that doesn't happen, we will die. And it's appointed to everybody to die, and so we will die. When you die, your body goes to the grave, your spirit goes to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what happened. You don't wait. You are instantaneously there. When Jesus comes again, you will come again with him. There will be a bodily resurrection. Somehow your body will be changed. You'll be back in a body. You'll get your new body then. And with your new body, you will reign. And he will equip you to do so righteously, and he will bless you in doing so. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on the incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality, and we will rule with him. Now, this is great for the future, but most of us are trying to live today. Verse 2, a man shall be as a hiding place. One of the great problems of those that reach heights of leadership is that they forget what it's like to struggle. You know, a lot of people in the White House forgot what it takes to put food on a table in our houses. And there's a disconnect. Well, I want you to know the king that God provides understands. You see, Jesus went through what we go through. He understands hunger. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food. He knows what it is to hunger. He knows what it is to thirst. Jesus understands dying, for Jesus went to the cross and Jesus laid his life down and died for you. Jesus understands the difficulties we face, and his heart is moved with ours, and he is hurt when we hurt, and he cares. So the king that God provides will be our hiding place. The storms of life may lead you not knowing which way to turn. Well, let me tell you, turn to Jesus. That's where you turn. The king of Judah turned to the Egyptians, and the result was misery. Oh, if he had just turned to Jesus. Some of you are in a storm today. It's like it's just pouring down on you, and everywhere you turn, there is difficulty. How wonderful it is to know you can turn to Jesus. He's your hiding place, our shelter in the midst of the storm. He understands what you're going through, and he can take you through it. Remember what the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." Do you ever feel that you're drying up? Do you ever feel that you're just kind of wilting under the heat of the pressures of this old world? Verse 2 says, he is as rivers of water in a dry place. Jesus is the abundant supply to quench your thirst, to care for your needs. He says, he is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I don't know if you've ever been in a sandstorm. Sandstorms are not fun. Sand comes and actually sand blasts you. It can peel the very skin from your body. And so a treasure in the Middle East is a rock. I mean a big rock. And imagine, if you will, a rock that you can get behind, and a rock that will shield you from the sand and the storm and the wind, a rock so large that the sand and the storm cannot blow around it and get to you, cannot go over it and get to you, and so established that it cannot go under and get to you. A rock that casts a shade so it keeps you from the heat of the moment. That is Jesus. He is the king that can protect you from whatever blows at you and can care for you. He's the king you need. A shelter, a river, a shadow, a rock, all of that's unwrapped in King Jesus. Whatever comfort you need, you can find in him and the king. King brings salvation. in verses 3 and 4. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken, and the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall speak plainly. When you come to Jesus, Jesus gives salvation to you. And your eyes can be open and you can see spiritual things. It straightens you out in your language. It cares for you by the truths of the gospel. God supplies a king, but it gets better. God doesn't just supply a king. God supplies the king. In chapter 33, verse 17, your eye shall see the king in his beauty. When you come to meet Jesus as your Savior, you begin to understand more and more of his love and care. You begin to understand he's not just a king out there. No, there's none other like him. Why would you want to live a day without the king that God gives? When you come to Jesus, your eyes will see beauty that you never dreamed. God has done some beautiful things in my life. I've watched people that were in total misery that God has touched and lifted them in his beauty and splendor. He can take a countenance and he can just turn it around. Dear believer, you may be in a storm. You may be in great pain. You may be staring at great difficulties. But one day you will be face to face with Jesus and nothing else will matter. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. He's not just a king, he is the king, but it gets better. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, he's not just a king or the king, he's our king. In 33:22, he says, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. This gets right personal. Let's see. He not only wants to be other people's king, he wants to be your king. He wants to be my king. Let me tell you, that makes a difference. I have a wife that if I live until Wednesday, we will have been married 42 years. And, for some people that sounds like a long time. You know, I tell you, it's gone by pretty quick. Now, let me tell you a truth. Becky loves a lot of people. And I'm glad she loves a lot of people. But none of that means as much as knowing she loves me. Jesus loves everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That love is there for every one of us. But how much more important it is to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus came for you. Jesus was willing to die for you on that cross. He was willing to give his all for you. Dear believer, he is our Christmas King and we are his. In verse 24 it says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, and the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven. Oh, he's talking about our heavenly home. Listen, you may be sickly here. Some of you are facing sickness now. Some of you have had diagnoses that are very troublesome. Some of you are going through situations that have made you sick. One step into glory and the sickness is gone. Cancer cannot reach heaven, nor can any other disease. They are gone. Even better, our sin doesn't go there. Nobody can bring up a sin you did on the earth because it is gone. God says, I separated as far as the east is from the west. I cast it behind my back. I will remember it no more. The blood of Jesus covers it all. It is gone. What a Christmas King. Jesus, our King, paid the price for all of our sins, and we will live with him in victory forever and forever and forever. How's that for a Christmas gift? Do you know a King? Do you know the King? Do you know your King? If you are here and you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul, you don't have a personal King. The Christmas kingdom means very little to you. Today that can all be changed. If you will believe in who Jesus is, Almighty God, in what Jesus did, that he came, that he lived a life of perfection, that he died on Calvary's cross, was buried and rose again. If you will believe that he wants to save your soul and is willing to come into your heart, that can happen today. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. You can walk forward. Just say, I want Jesus. I know what that means. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart, and the King will become your King. And for all eternity, you will have the King of Kings right inside your heart. Now, you may be a believer, and maybe today you're struggling because you've stepped away from the King. Listen, he's never stepped away from you. Maybe today's the day you need to just come to the altar, recommit yourself to him. Say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing. And then get up and do what he asks you to do. God will bless your life. Maybe you need a church home and God has said, this is the place. Well, come and be part of us. We'd love to have you. God calls you to a decision. I hope you'll make it. Let's stand for prayer right now. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, for our Christmas King. We pray now, Father, for those that are in this room that do not know you, that right now you would touch their hearts, that they would know that they want Jesus, they would know that they want to make sure Jesus is their Savior, and today they would be willing to come and say, I want Jesus. For believers, Father, that have stepped away from you, that today they would be quickened in their heart, they would know, Father, they have been wrong and they want to get right, and they would be willing to ask you to forgive and restore, and that you will. And Father, I pray that if there are those that need this church home, guide them to this place. Move us now, Father. Transform us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?